Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast where you'll get to learn from the experts in the field of sex, love, and relationships. The mission of the Sex Talk Cafe is to normalize the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and spiritual. I'm your host, Susan Morgan Taylor. I'm a holistic sex therapist, intuitive coach, and specialist in women's sexuality and feminine spirituality. I'm the founder and CEO of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I help women and couples around the world restore intimacy, save their relationship, and get back to love without feeling like they have to sacrifice themselves just to keep their partner happy. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. Okay, well, welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, everybody. And I'm really, really excited about my guest today. We have a really interesting topic that we're going to be talking about. And today I have Elliot Justin, MD, who is going to be sharing with us today about his amazing work in the sex, tech, and wearables industry. And I would just love to welcome you, Dr. Justin, to the Sex Talk Cafe. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, my background, I'm an emergency medicine physician and practiced for many, many years and founded several emergency medicine service companies. And I can tell your listeners that as an emergency medicine doctor, there are a few emergencies short of a heart attack or a stroke that concern a man as much as a limp penis. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to let everyone know. We're talking about limp dicks today.
I've also have a long career in telehealth, founded the second oldest telemedicine company in the United States, and I'm very interested in remote patient management technology, meaning things that people can do at home to monitor their health. Mm. As I said to you earlier, I live in Montana. I ride horses. My wife says I ride like a five-year-old. I say I ride like a 25-year-old. And back in 2015, I broke six vertebrae. And that got me interested in what has been done to rehabilitate men or women who have spinal cord injuries and have sexual dysfunction. I'm fine, but that led to something that I call Project O for obvious reasons, because I was trying to produce orgasms. So I read in the medical literature, which we should all be skeptical of, especially after COVID. But I read the medical literature. There were five papers in which a urologist claimed that they were able to produce erections, even ejaculation, men with spinal cord injuries or multiple sclerosis by implanting an electrode by the cavernous nerve, everyone's favorite nerve that no one's heard about. It's a nerve responsible for orgasms in men and women. I tried it out first on two rams, male sheep. We called it ram charging, and we got erection, ejaculation. We also got defecation and urination, so it wasn't exactly bedroom friendly.
Okay.
I then tried it out myself because I had a friend who's a urologist at the University of San Francisco. He implanted an electrode by my cavernous nerve, and there were no results whatsoever. So I gave it up. But three years ago now, a professor of urology at the University of Utah heard about this experiment and other work that I'd done on remote patient management technology, and said he wanted to come up with a way of counting the number of nocturnal erections that men have. And I said, frankly, what the fuck for? Why do we care about nocturnal erections at all? We all know about morning wood and we laugh about it, but I was unaware of actually their profound significance. So a healthy man should have 3 to 5 nocturnal erections per night. And as explained to me, the number of nocturnal erections is a leading indicator of man's cardiovascular health. And I will add, I suspect it's the same thing in women too. Women don't have nocturnal clitoral erections, and we have built a device to evaluate those. I can talk about that later on. And if that number goes down, it's a leading indicator. Well, leading indicator in medicine is really powerful. In medicine, we treat associations. So for example, hypertension, high blood pressure, is associated with heart attack and stroke.
Yeah.
But it doesn't predict them. Whereas if nocturnal erections goes down, it's predictive. A man who has declined nocturnal erections will have a heart attack or a stroke far more likely than not. And it could be 3 to 5 years, but that man is a pathway to a problem, because erections involve blood flow. And if you're not getting the penis and the retina, probably the two organs in the body most sensitive to decrease blood flow. And obviously what's going on in a man's penis is more obvious than what's going on in his retina.
Well, and much more interesting, really, right? Which is why we're here today on the Sex Talk FA. We're not talking about retinas today. We're talking about penises and erections. And I love this, what you refer to as the sixth vital sign that nobody's really paying attention to is the quality and number of erections that a man gets throughout the night, not just the morning wood, but also you say it should be 3 to 5 erections. Now, is that for all age groups? Because as you get older, as we know, that's down. Where a lot of problems
it goes down, but it goes down. Is this video on? Or is it just talk? Because it goes down like, it doesn't go down like that. It just starts to drop off in the 60s and 70s. A man my age should have 3 to 4. Someone close to your age should have 4. A younger man should have 5. But this doctor, like most straight urologists, was a cock ring virgin. I'm not. So he wasn't thinking as I was about, well, what do men care more about than erections they have at night, or the one they have when they try and have sex or are having sex?
Right.
So my thought was to embed sensors into a cock ring and invent tools for a smart cock ring.
Yeah, which is what we're talking. That's your company, which is FirmTech. And I'm excited to talk about. I do have a question on this morning wood and the erections before we get into the product you developed. I can't wait to hear about it. I think it's just fascinating. I heard from more than one man, older, past the age of 50, who has said, I've never had great erections my whole life. That even morning wood has really never been, I've never had morning erections. Like they've just never been thing. And what would you say to that? That's just always been the case. Like, what does that indicate? And obviously there's some percentage of men out there that just have never had these 3 to 5 erections throughout the night or morning wood at all.
Well, a couple of things. One, we don't even know that my company is finally getting the data. Our understanding of male sexuality, like female sexuality, is really primitive because we don't have tools that can make it objective. What was cardiology before electrocardiogram or a blood pressure cuff or an angiogram? It was nothing. It was just people giving opinions based upon their opinions based upon their contact with a relatively small number of patients. So it's the same thing in this area. We really don't know. I mean, and now we're starting to know. We at FirmTech, we have more dick data than anyone else in the world. But
dick data. All right, let's dive into this.
But let's get back to this man for a second. I want to leave this man behind. So this man could well have, most assuming that this is not medication related,
right? And
this has been a lifelong problem of sustaining hard erections. He has venous leak. So the arteries put blood into the penis, and the veins either let it go or hold it in because there are smooth muscles around the veins that need to constrict in order to hold the blood in the penis. And there are a certain percentage of men, it's small, who are born with venous leak syndrome, although we all, men and women, develop venous leak as we get older. And it's one of the reasons why it's harder for older people to climax, takes longer, or it's also one of the reasons why women lubricate less because they have venous leak.
Okay. Yeah, and so there's this idea that the overall health, man's health is directly related to the quality of the erection, the number of erections. The morning wood is an indicator of that cardiovascular health. And you have developed, your company, FirmTech, has developed a product that actually is getting the data about the dick.
Yes,
doing at all hours of the night and the morning. Talk to me about this. What is your company? What does this device do? Why do we care? Why do we need this data?
Well, I'll start with the last question. Why do you have the data? Because the data is an indication of your cardiovascular health. The data is an indication of the impact of medications in men and women with antihypertensives and SSRI antidepressants being the cock and clit killers. It also is an indication of the impact of supplements, diet, exercises. There are lots of claims being made by companies about things that can improve your sexual health that don't work, or they could work in you and not work in someone else. So if you have data, if you have a tool, as the cliche goes in the biohacking world, track it to hack it. You can't hack it unless you can track it. Otherwise, you're just guessing. So that's the value. So our device, worn overnight, we count the number of nocturnals and measure their duration and firmness. And a man and his healthcare provider can then see, how bad is my diabetes or my hypertension? Or better yet, I'm normal, great, I'm in good health. Or they can measure the impact of medication, diet, supplements, et cetera, upon their sexual health, even relationships. And you know, men often wonder, as do women, how can I get turned on with this person, not that person? What's really going on objectively? So at both extremes, I'll give it two extremes with our device. One would be a man has 4 nocturnal erections, but can't get up with his partner. Well, it's possibly going on in a relationship. There's some performance anxiety, or it could be alcohol or drugs, you know, related. Although on the other hand, it could just be, hey, maybe we should get divorced, because we have complained to us. One woman who picked up, I can show you what it looks like on the phone, picked up her husband's phone, saw that he was supposedly couldn't get up with her, but he was having sex on Tuesday and on Thursday and then on Sunday. And so that led to divorce. On the conversely, we had another divorce that we learned about where the woman saw that the guy was having only one very weak nocturnal erection. And her complaint was, he's been blaming me for the last 2 years that I'm the reason why I can't get up. But it was his problem. I was getting wrist fatigue and jaw fatigue for nothing for years. And listen to him shaming me. So that's the psychosocial part of it. But we've had two men go for cardiac catheterizations because their nocturnals went down. We've had men identify that they had adrenal insufficiency and other medical problems. So the data is really valuable.
Yeah. And I guess there was just something wrong with Monday with that guy's erection, because it seemed like he could get it on every other day. So this device, how does it work? I know people can go to your website. We'll get to that later when we're wrapping up, but I'll put it in the show notes as well. Sure. But like, we have an example. Okay, great. Show us how this thing works.
So this is the tech ring. This is basically an There are two sensors. There's a pressure sensor here, the strain gauge and the hook. And as the penis expands in girth, the sensors are triggered. It goes on differently than most cock rings. It doesn't get slid down the shaft. It wraps around. Okay. So the balls get dropped in, and then it opens and closes with the hook, and it fits on like that. And there it is.
Okay.
So it was, in order to come up with a way of counting the number of nocturnal erections at night, we had to reinvent the cock ring. So cock rings suck. They never caught on. They're a hard silicone O-ring gasket, like a plumbing device or noose for the penis. So who wants to lynch their penis?
Right.
So our rings, I'll take this one off here, are made out of a soft elastomer.
Okay.
You know, they're comfortable. They can be worn for hours. They have the safety feature, which they open and close the hook, which is taken from the bra, because after all, a bra is a ring that opens and closes.
Right.
I would say that half the heterosexual sex probably in committed relationships in the country starts when the guy is scratching his girlfriend's or wife's back as she takes a bra off at night, because the bra is fucking uncomfortable. Excuse me, my language. I'm from New York City.
That's okay. It's all welcome.
The bra's uncomfortable. I was scratching my wife's back and I thought, oh, duh, the hook. Why don't we make a cock ring that opens and closes the hook so it's easy on, easy off, and safe?
Because cock rings can cause damage to the penis. Am I right about that?
No, because this one can be worn for hours. This one's designed to be worn for up to 12 hours.
Okay.
Our other maximum performance ring, which is really a sex focused ring, can be worn for 90 minutes. I've worn it for up to 4 hours. We say 90 minutes because they had to draw a cutoff.
Because
our rings don't block the arterial flow in. So they're not choking off the blood flow. The problem with these O-rings that are common is that they choke off the blood flow. So you have to have an erection first, then you got to choke it. Then you end up with something you can only wear for like 20, 30 minutes. They pinch, they're uncomfortable. Our rings actually are, even after a climax, our rings are comfortable, which is a game changer for both younger and older men. It's, you know, for younger men who want to keep on thrusting after they've come. But for older men like myself, it actually changes the male mindset. So it's been interesting from what I've heard I know for myself, and we hear from our customers, I'd say a couple of times, I just heard yesterday from a guy in the 60s, when they use our rings, they make love longer. Because a good cock ring makes a man more confident, and it makes his partner more confident that they're not going to lose an erection.
Right, sure. So, get rid of some of that anxiety.
Exactly. And that means that there's no longer the sort of Oh my, we're all both turned on. Get the vibrator, get whatever we're gonna
Oh,
play.
right. Like,
Rush
no,
the
let's
rush.
get to it while we've got the erection. Quick, let's
Exactly.
go. Yeah, which
Yeah.
doesn't really serve. I mean, I get it, especially if the erections are few and far between, but it's not really like, especially for the female side, like, you know, like usually a little more time and slowing down a little bit, like really dropping deep and getting, you know, extended lovemaking is really what I think is
Yeah, exactly.
more
I
nourishing.
and my wife and I, so we, I mean, I haven't been married to someone who my mother called my devil's bargain because she thought I was marrying for sex, and she was right. I was marrying for sex. But we've been married for 35, we married, actually, we married for
Not a
36
terrible
years.
thing.
We married for 36 years as of last week. We married for other reasons,
Congratulations.
obviously. But
It's okay. Right.
the change, the impact on our life of using rings that could be worn for more than 20, 30 minutes, rings that are comfortable, is that we make love for two or three times as long. And we've gone from making love for, say, 10 minutes to 30, 40, 50 minutes sometimes, because the ring will keep me hard that long
That's awesome.
comfortably. And after I climax, I stay hard for not for 25 seconds, I stay hard for another 4 to 5 minutes. Well, that means we're still both horizontal, we're talking, we're intimate. So, I mean, it's hard to quantify that. Now, before I was talking about data, it's hard to quantify emotional satisfaction, intimacy,
Right.
romance.
Right.
That's one of the things that the ring, the non-data side of the ring, accomplishes.
Yeah, well, maybe there'll be some way to collect that data at some point in the future, but I am curious. So you have several different products through your
We
company.
do.
One of this is this the Dick data, which is
Right.
the one you
That's
just showed.
this one.
Yeah, okay. And you've got some other things that are like the cock rings, like what you're describing, but let's go back to the Dick data. So let's say a
Sure.
man wears this device. Well, you know, and how long, so you get the data. I mean, he's got to wear it for some certain period of time. Maybe we could talk about that. And then, so you get the data, and then what? I mean, like, so what? So then what do you do with the data? Like, how do you know what
Well,
to do?
we
Why is that?
recommend that people, I'm turning on my phone right now because I can show it to you. Of course, we recommend that people don't make any change in medications without talking to your doctor. But the re reality is most people I know they make the changes without talking to the doctor. So how can this data be used? We have men who will stop taking their SRI antidepressant because they
Oh,
see
that's
the
nice.
impact of it, like their Wellbutrin or their
Right.
Cymbalta or whatever. They see the impact upon the sexual performance. And suddenly, 2 weeks later, they're harder. They're able. They last longer. They're able to ejaculate. We have men who have gone back to the doctor, says, I'm not taking this blood pressure medicine anymore. You need to put me on something that is not having an impact on my erections. We've had people tell us that they've cut back on their drinking because they can actually see the impact. Upon the people who also either see that taking a PDE5 medication, Viagra and Cialis, don't work for them, or that. The male mentality, actually all human mentality, is, hey, if something's been said to work, I'll take double the dose, I'll take triple the dose.
Right.
People
Oh.
can see that it makes no impact. I mean, for myself, I never took tadalafil before, but I've tested it with this device. It has no impact whatsoever. And that's
Wow.
really interesting too. Now,
That's
why is
interesting.
that? Because the erections, ED breaks down into two categories. Men who can't attain an erection. Well, men who can't attain an erection, they just see a urologist and a cardiologist. They have a major problem, most likely. But the most common problem is that men can't sustain an erection. So men
Right.
can't sustain an erection is getting blood into the penis, but it's not staying there. And that could be due to performance anxiety, stress, distraction, medications, drugs, alcohol, a whole series of things. And that's where a ring, both the
Okay.
data and the ring, are so valuable, because the graphing will demonstrate this to men, that they're getting erections, losing them, and show how quickly they lose them. And then they can try various things. Well, I'll take
Okay.
this medication, or not, I'll drop out that medication.
Got it.
But the ring also holds the blood in the penis. The
This
ring
is great.
leads to more sustained erections.
Yeah. I had a question. It
Sure.
popped into my head and I just lost it. I have to see if I can, it'll come back, I'm sure. I get it. So you've got the data and the data is then will tell you, and then
I'll
from
show it to
there,
you right now. Yeah.
okay, yeah. From there you
We're
kind of troubleshoot.
in the Google and Apple stores. I don't really can see that.
Yeah, hold it back a little bit. It's kind of shining from, yeah, that's better. Yeah. Okay, so I
So
don't quite.
we provide people with an erectile fitness score on a 1 to 10 scale. And that fitness score is based upon the number of nocturnals they have, how long they last, and when they're having sex, how hard do they get, and how long do they last. with anything above a 6 being, you know, being normal. And it does go down. It does go down with age. So, and I'll show you what a recording looks like.
Oh yeah, I know. My question came back. So yeah, let's do this and I'll ask you this question. Hold it back a little bit. Go back a little more from the, okay, there we go. Okay, cool.
If you look on one side, I'm having sex with my wife and then I'm having 4 nocturnal erections. So for me, this is more exciting than my electrocardiogram. It says I'm a good sexual and cardiovascular health. So, you know, we have
sexier.
Something like 75 or 80 million Americans have blood pressure machines at home or some health monitor at home. What data interests men and women more? How many steps took yesterday?
Yeah.
Or how's your penis? And soon, how's your clitoris?
Yeah. I mean, so this is like a Fitbit for your dick.
That's right. My wife calls it a dick bit. Exactly.
Dick bit. I love it. Well, also, so kind of going back to this, you know, the blue pill, taking the Viagra, the Cialis, you know, whatever, the blue pill, we'll just call it that. You know, a lot of men might just say, well, that's just easier. Why don't I just take that? And I believe there's a lot of reasons why you don't take that. I mean, number one, there is risk to the cardiovascular health with those particular medications. Am I correct?
That's right. Well, fourth thing, you're not learning anything about your sexual health when you take them. And you could be masking a problem. It could be that you are pre-diabetic. It could be that you have high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. It could be that you're developing atherosclerosis. But you could be masking that for a period of time by taking the medication. The other thing about the medication is that it probably is largely placebo effect for most men. So if you go back to the original Viagra data, it was only 20% more effective than placebo. Now, placebo is really powerful. I mean, I got men who I prescribe Viagra and Cialis to tell me that it works just in their wallet, or it works by having it on their night table.
Just download it.
Yeah, that's magic. I understand that. I have that folly as well too. If you go into my bathroom, you'll see 6 or 7 supplements. I don't think any of them work. As a matter of fact, I know some of them don't work.
Yeah.
But I take them anyway. I don't know. Maybe this will give me more
energy.
Right, exactly. You feel like you're doing something for your health. Probably the only thing still working in there is vitamin D. So we're all susceptible to placebo effect, to magical thinking. But there are risks associated with the pills. But the major, they can cause headaches. They can lower the blood pressure. People can take too many of them. But the major risk is actually that people are going to mask a problem. If you have erectile dysfunction, you either have a psychological issue or a physiological issue.
Yeah.
If you have you're kind of covering up with a pill, eventually it's going to emerge. And you don't want to be someone who says 3 years later, gee, I just had a heart attack. Could I have detected this earlier if I were tracking my erections? Or I mean, that's too dramatic, but more like I had a transient ischemia because a mini stroke, and I could have detected this earlier. So it's getting data is really important. You know, I mean, we don't treat blood pressure by just giving people pills. We don't treat regular heart rhythm by just giving people pills. We get data.
Good point. Really good point. And let's talk about this data. Like, where does it go and how is it stored and how is penis privacy protected?
Well, protection really starts with the user. If you don't want someone else looking at your data, just so you don't want someone picking up your phone and going to the app and open it up. So you can put a password on it. but the data itself, the data goes to the cloud, and we're HIPAA compliant. I mean, we have the same type of security that your hospital uses, and it's stored by Amazon Web Services under the cyber protection. I have no access to the data. There's only one person in the company has access to the data. He has a contract that says if he accesses it without permission, the user's permission. We can only access data when we have the user's permission, except that identifies them. The data goes to the cloud. It then gets anonymized. The computer converts, you know, Elliot Justin into a whole run of random digits. And that's how when we have data, we know things, but we don't know things about me. We know
the
things
person.
About
person. It's
you know
like
about these numbers. Yeah. Doctors can access. You know, people can share the data with their doctor. For research purposes and for some urologists, clinics and men's clinics, they create a data room. The data goes there and is kept there in privacy, and only the patient and the doctor can access it.
Well, cool. And I'm curious because you're collecting, as your product really gets out there more and more and more men are using this product, you're going to have more and more data. How do you envision that this is going to transform the future of men's health? Just the knowing what you're going to know or what your company potentially can know about men's health through the erections. How will this change the future of
many ways. I'll focus on pharma and then technology. So in terms of pharma, what works, what doesn't work for ED becomes quickly apparent when you have data.
Great.
Every new medication is required to when it's being tested, is required to someone's sexual health as well as other areas of someone's health. So is pill X being used for problem Y? They would, in addition to asking about, did you get chest pain with this? Did you vomit? Did you get headaches? They need to ask about someone's sexuality. Right now, that's done with subjective questionnaires.
Right.
We make it objective. So no, it's not going to be, I think I lost, my erections got weaker. I think my erections got stronger. It's going to be objective. So that's the pharma side. On the technology side, a man is getting shockwave therapy for his penis. Is it working? Is it really working? A man is getting, a man's considering getting an implant for his penis because he has trouble getting it up in bed. But if he has nocturnal erections, does he need it? Mm-hmm. And then there's these, we're involved in research right now, or we'll kick off soon with Botox, which is maybe something that can help with ED by increasing blood flow in the penis, shockwave therapy, testosterone therapy. Right now, if you go to a doctor and get testosterone therapy, the two questions are, hey, do you have more energy and how are your erections? Well, we make it objective. I mean, energy is hard to quantify, but whether you're getting harder or having more nocturnal erections with your testosterone therapy is there. And since testosterone is not benign, you can titrate the dose. Maybe you don't need to be taking 200 every week. Maybe 50 will achieve the same outcome.
Also, because I have talked to some other erection specialists who in the medical field who say that testosterone is not the key to the erection. It's more this cardiovascular blood flow, stress responses, the psychological pieces. That's more tied to the erection than the testosterone levels anyway. Do you find that to be true?
That's been our experience as well too, although we have seen very variable response. And so some men respond to it sexually and others don't. Mm-hmm. For myself, when I started with this company a couple of years ago, I'm talking to my friends. I was like, and I'm 71 years old. Every one of my friends over like age 50, 55 was taking testosterone. That really took me aback because I really thought something for men who had significant low T, but it's guys are taking it like they take Viagra or Cialis. They just like, hey, what the heck? I might as well take it. So it had no impact upon my number of nocturnal erections. It had no impact upon how hard I get. Right. It did have an impact, an objective impact in the gym, though. I did increase my upper body strength by 7% without trying. And that was really interesting. And so that's objective. That's not like saying Jay had more energy. That was objective. So I'm still taking it, although I don't think it has, not for sexual reasons.
Erections. Yeah.
But I just spoke to a man last night who uses our rings for sex, both the tech ring and the non-tech ring, and he it worked in him. He went from having 2 to 3 nocturnal erections to having 4+ nocturnal erections per night. So that's so
significant.
And I'm not an endocrinologist. I don't understand why it's variable. But I certainly have read that the impact is variable, but now we make it objective. And now it's no longer, take this for a year. You'll figure, if a man uses our tech ring and starts on testosterone, he's going to know in 4 to 6 weeks whether it works for him or not.
Okay.
And what dose works.
This is, I just think this is amazing. Now I want to ask you another question, because I know on your website, you also mentioned being an advocate for women's sexual health. And I'm kind of curious, tell me what you do around that or what your products can do. Obviously having an erection can certainly help a woman's sexual health, but what other kinds of things do you do with your company, or are you having the works for that?
Well, once I I started working on the male device and realized that there's nothing else like this. I mean, this is the world's first monitor of rectal health. There's nothing out there monitoring clitoral health.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there is the line as a vibrator does have a sensor that goes inside the vagina and measures pubococcygeus muscle contractions, mm-hmm. but that's secondary to the clitoris. So, and it's interesting, and our female device developed that will do that too. But so I want to monitor clitoral health. And women have even more problems with this than men do. They like to blame men for this, but I'll take it out of the finger pointing here and point out that premenopausal women have certain hormonal protections against heart disease that men don't have. But postmenopausal mm-hmm. women have the same problems with atherosclerosis, arteriosclerosis, diabetes, hypertension that men do, maybe even more. Due to obesity and other medical problems in our society. Premenopausal women, though, have problems that men don't have. And this is where the clitoral device would be really valuable, because premenopausal women take birth control hormones.
Yeah.
Many do, not many do. And they take estrogen depressants six times as many as men do. Well, both of those things, hormones and the antidepressants, have a major impact upon their libido, upon the health of their clit, the performance of their clitoris.
Yeah.
Let alone the psychological impact. And so we have women, premenopausal women in this country, who don't even know what their real sexuality would be like. And that leads to issues of self-esteem, issues within their relationships, and it's not so healthy.
I'm super curious about this because, you know, women's, you know, like they created that female version of Viagra, which was largely a flop. Like it really, in women's sexuality, it's not as much about blood flow to the clitoris. We need that, obviously, yes, for pleasure and for sensation, for orgasm. We need the engorgement. We need all that. But I believe, you know, the research I've done as a specialist in women's sexuality, that it tends to be a lot more, a little bit more complex. There's a lot more emotional, psychological, psycho-spiritual influences in women's sexuality. Not so much just the physiological function of, say, the clitoris. A little bit different for men. It tends to be, in general, a little bit simpler, not to say that psychological factors can't come in. But blood flow to the penis, you're probably going to get hard 9 times out of 10, right? So I am curious about this. I think it's brilliant and we need it. But what do you say to that, knowing kind of how the Viagra piece wasn't really what we had hoped it was going to be for women? I'm wondering if it's going to be a similar challenge of finding
the psychological issues are more difficult to address, but at least we can tell people about this, the health of the clitoris.
Right.
So if you can tell a woman that, you know, that SSRI antidepressant that your doctor put you on is bad for you, that's valuable. If women can realize that, gee, I'm taking these hormones for birth control, but the impact, is it worth it? Maybe I should consider getting an IUD or some other form of birth control,
totally
non-hormonal.
Yeah.
The psychological, it'll be interesting to look at this problem again.
Yeah.
The mind body split again once you fix the body. Because I think once you fix the body, there will still be psycho spiritual issues involved, but they will be less prominent.
I see what you're saying. Like having the data will be totally revolutionary and potentially invaluable in giving, right. You gotta have the data to see the problem and to find the solution. So really cool.
So the female device will basically measure clitoral blood flow.
Okay.
Clitoral pulse amplitude, because more blood pulses in the clitoris. We're going to be able to measure engorgement in millimeters, micromillimeters.
Okay.
And
this will be interesting, because the clitoris, as we know, I mean, it's more than just that little part that sticks out.
Right.
You've got the legs of the clitoris that go into the, you know, the labia, the vulva. So how will you get the whole thing? This is to be determined.
You'll have to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Okay, we'll do that later.
But I'll put it this way, with the next generation of male device that's going to come out a year from now, we're testing it right now, we can actually measure the volume of blood in the penis, because it's easy to, if you know the diameter, you know the length, just geometry.
Okay.
With the clitoris, and given the nature of the core, the wings, it's really going to be hard to get that. We're going to measure the glands, which is not the tip, but the glands, which is the tip plus the harder part, you know, behind it. And we'll measure that, you know, that component directly.
Okay.
The preliminary data shows, hey, it doubles in size. So it's, you know, it may be even sometimes 2.5 times the size. It's really,
it's
cool. And we've only tested it on normal women so far. So we haven't tested it with medications. We haven't actually seen, you know, we haven't, you know, taken a population of women like this, you know, healthy women and say, okay, we're going to take 15 healthy women. Now we're going to give them medication X or medication Y and, you know, and measure the impact. That hasn't occurred yet.
Okay. Wow. Really cool. Well, is there anything else that you would like to let our listeners know about your work and what you do before we we'll invite them how to get in touch with you, but anything else you think is really important about your company and this idea of men's
touch? I want to proselytize for, which is cock rings. So look at the impact of vibrators on women. My mother's vibrator was stashed away in the bottom drawer supply closet. She thought we'd never find it. And my wife owns 7 or 8. You probably do as well too. My wife would want a different vibrator, a different point of our sexual experience, and they're, you know, and a daughter takes them on dates. Now, back before you were born in the 70s and 80s, there was a certain shame associated with using vibrators. There's also an emphasis on natural, you know, got to come during penetrative sex, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that's changed. And it's changed for the best. So what do men have? They have nothing. They have these strokers that look like something you could beat someone to death with. And they have cock rings that in the past have not been designed by doctors to be physiologically effective. So our other cock ring, the Maximum Performance Ring, is designed to increase the ejaculatory phase by 50% in most men. So my ejaculatory phase goes from 4 to 7 seconds. Now that's a totally different orgasm. I never had sex regularly with cock rings until I came up with this particular device. And my wife and I use it all the time now because I last longer and I have a more intense orgasm, which she digs. She says that she's glad the kids are out of the house because I'm so noisy now.
Yeah.
And she also knows that I'm going to stay engaged.
Yeah.
Because a guy with an erection is present. A guy might be trying to please his partner, but he's lost his erection. Everyone knows he's not as present as he was if he's got an erection.
Right, because you're thinking about it, getting all worried about it.
Right. So I think so the message to men and women is put a ring on it for 3 reasons. Put a ring on it because the men need this data. Now, if you're 20 years old and you're fine, you don't need the data. But if you're an old man who's 40, 45 years of age, or you have diabetes or hypertension, or you're taking a medication that's impacting your erections, you need the data. Just the way if you go to a doctor and they did nothing, you would think, what is this, 1900? Two, men need to put a ring on it so they can perform more confidently and have better sex. And the third reason is put a ring on it for your partner's pleasure, because you're all going to enjoy it. Men need to overcome, you know, we have this, straight men don't get it. 90% of gay men use cock rings. 10% of straight men do. The straight men are missing out. And if things are going to change, it's going to come about because of people like you, Susan. But it's going to come about because women introduce this. Women, they're more concerned about health. Men are health deniers. And women, and also in a heterosexual relationship, women leave when it comes to sex. They might fantasize otherwise, which is fine, but they leave. So if a man buys a sex toy, it'll be in the garbage within one day. If a woman introduces a sex toy into a relationship, it's a keeper. And
it's true. It's really true. And I think we forget that or miss that or don't quite understand that the feminine is really the thing that guides. And I agree. Women are the ones that bring the wisdom, you know, this kind of information in to a relationship. So women, I think, are really empowered to change the nature of the sexual relationship through their own education and learning about products like this. And I think you're absolutely right. Now, how you bring it in, that's another topic for a different podcast episode. We got to do it with tact.
A couple of points I'd like to make. If you have more sex, you're less likely to get divorced. People have sex twice a week, have half the divorce rate.
Well,
that's
astounding.
People who have sex every day have the cortisol levels are a half. That's a stress hormone. That's enormous. And we know that men, and I would assume women as well, who are over the age of 75, who have sex twice a week, decrease their cardiovascular.
And we were just wrapping up our amazing conversation on dick data and cock rings and your company, FirmTech, which is where our listeners can go to find this product. And I want to just give you an opportunity to let our listeners know how can they connect with you? How can they learn more? How can they buy this product?
Yes. So you can find us at MyFirmTech, MyFirmTech, MyFirmTech.com. If you want to communicate with me personally, it's Elliot, Elliot, at MyFirmTech.com. I'm happy to answer your questions, usually within 1 to 2 days, but I will answer your questions if you communicate with us. And again, I want to emphasize that we talk a lot about work-life balance, but you and I, Susan, believe in work-life sex balance.
Oh, yes.
And I'm hoping that if people will get their data and use rings, they'll be able to get the broader balance in life and enjoy the lifetime of lovemaking that everyone desires.
Everyone desires. And as you stated earlier, is good for your health, good for long-lasting relationships, improves your marriage. And I just think that this is wonderful. And I just thank you so much for being my guest today on Sex Talk Cafe.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with your friends. To keep in the loop on future events and happenings, and to grab your copy of our free ebook, The Pleasure Keys, 7 Secrets to Feminine Sexual Fulfillment, visit us online at pathwaytopleasure.com.